you for listening to the Sanctioned Love podcast. Our vision is to bring the ratifying love, the binding force of love, to individuals with the purpose of increasing intimacy, freedom, and identity in Christ. Today, we're going to be talking about shame to honor. Hey guys, my name is Linda Rennie. I'm the president of Sanctioned Love Ministries. We're going to be joined today with Melissa Norris and Marcy Johnston in this teaching and just kind of what is shame and how we walk it out with honor and how we become overcomers in the true identity of what the blood of Jesus has done for us as a body individually and as a body of the Christ. So, you know, what is shame? Let's just start there, right? What is shame? I remember praying one time and the Lord told me, preparing for a conference, probably about maybe 5-6 years ago or so, the Lord was having a conversation with me and talking. I was asking him, Lord, what is shame? And because of my own personal journey in so many areas, I really know shame very well. I know it because I've had to walk it out and come out into a valley of freedom, of honor in so many different areas of my life, because whether it's my own choices or what other people have done to me, but basically I had to choose to come into a valley of truth and honor. And I was talking to the Lord that day and he said, there's an epidemic in the body of Christ, and it really is of brokenness and shame. And we'll go into that further as we discuss and talk about this today. But I love the scripture of Acts 10:43. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. I love that the name is above his name, Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the only Lord, the only King of Kings. His name is truly above shame. I love that he is the one that came and despised the shame on a cross. He made mention of shame on the cross because he despised it. He despised it. I think that we feel ashamed and we feel embarrassed in so many different areas that the enemy tries to keep us in a lower place than standing on the mountaintops of victory. Shame, what is it? Well, shame is a painful feeling of humiliation or distress. It's caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behaviors. A painful emotion resulting from an awareness of inadequacy or guilt. It's a loss of respect or esteem for the person, an action, a situation that brings a loss of respect or honor. What are the synonyms? You know, what are things that really lay hidden that we have these emotions or we have feelings that come and we might not be able to discern, understand, or define them, but they're similar to the emotion of shame or this overwhelming cloud or cloak of pain. Well, a synonym can be humiliation, mortification. I was mortified. Loss of face. We just lose our face in the moment. Embarrassment, indignity, discomfort. Disgrace, discredited. Scandal, chastened. But someone, we've put someone in their place. We've shamed people through our own shame. Shame breeds shame. This is a great time, like no other time in the earth and no other time in your life as you're listening to this, to let it go and to come out and walk free. Sure, it could be a challenge. It'll take bravery. It'll take strength that is not your own. But if you don't lean on the understanding of what shame is trying to tell you, the foolish things of the kingdom will confound the wise. So walk free today. Choose the walk of victory to come out into honor and be brave and be bold because Jesus sees you that way through the blood. I'm in this journey. I'm in a continual journey of the fight of faith, right? Faith is the thing that pleases God. Faith is the assurance of things that we are so hoping for that I no longer want to live like this. I don't want to feel the disgrace or degradation or maybe past scandals on my life of my testimony that I've allowed the enemy to disgrace my testimony when in reality it was purchased by the blood of Jesus. And just because I have these emotions of what I did, I can no longer believe what the enemy would speak about myself because it really brings a degradation against the blood covenant of what he died and purchased for me and for my life. You can no longer base your identity on your past behavior because this will cause you to move backwards. Shame wants to move you out of the position of God's call on your life and make it feel like this is impossible. I'm never going to measure up. I'm never going to get there. I'm never going to arrive. Shame unravels the connection with others. Shame wants you to hide. For me, we minister at Sanctioned Love all over different states and around the world. We've been honored to do that. And he uses broken people to minister to broken. Isn't that a dichotomy, right? But it just keeps us humble and realizing that he is everything and that we are nothing. But we're everything according to the identity of the blood, right? And shame wants us to hide. You cannot base that our identity is something that wants us to paralyze us and keep us moving backwards. Shame wants to move you out of a position of God's call. So every time you feel like I'm going to step back, I'm going to move to the side, I'm unworthy, I don't feel connected, and I feel like I just want to stay in isolation, recognize that the enemy was the one in the garden that spoke to Eve and caused deception. Why? Why? Because Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. And maybe you have heard that study on what cool of the day means, and it really means the ruha, the breath of God, that there was so much intimacy. Because why did God create his children? Is because he was desperate for fellowship and that he wanted the word and the will of God and to have such a liberty to have connection with his children. And when the enemy came in deceived, he didn't come in to say, not only do you really believe that you'll be just like God? He came to break the intimacy and the relationship of communication. So he knew that if he could break intimacy of fellowship, it would breed shame. And I love the fact that when God was walking and after Eve, you know, tantalized her husband to say, take a bite of this apple and it will be of the knowledge, because it's the reasoning of the day of the hour of man to bite into a false narrative that causes us to get isolated and walk and cover ourselves with the clothes and the man-made things that God already knows what's real behind this covering. Shame hides. God is walking saying, Adam, Adam, where are you? And in this, I felt like the Lord said to me, in this whole gross shame culture that the world is walking in, he was desperately saying, he wasn't just saying, but Adam, Adam, where are you? Out of the desperation of a loss of fellowship with the love of his life, he was saying, Adam, Adam, where are you? Where are you? Did you believe a lie that was not true? I just fell and cried that day when so many places of victory I had walked out in, and yet so many places of shame I still had a fig leaf hiding behind. This causes men to die before they can connect with the one that is on the inside of them. They never meet the call of God on their life. I am a fighter for people to meet their call of the one, and also the one who called them. I contend for it with great passion on my team, that they would never live behind a fig leaf. If you do not believe this is time to change and to see our value from God and of heaven, here's your moment. Sometimes there are things in our lives that we believe shame leads us into. Sometimes it's self-inflicted. And sometimes shame happens because other people have done the infliction upon us. We become really comfortable with shame, and it becomes like a friend. That's why, you know, not all friends are really good friends. And we become so much in connection with that friend that we cannot see where the deception of the invasion of our true identity has been broken. If we believe in religion, shame loves to live there. If we live in religion, then we believe that we are good because we do good, and we are bad because we do bad. That's the total equation and definition, I believe, that the enemy loves to use and keep people in bondage to shame. That's why Jesus died, because he despised the shame. He said, I'm breaking the power of what the fig leaf tried to cover, and bring through the power of the blood and the redemption of the cross of Jesus Christ, that he literally despised it and made a spectacle of his enemies, and said, no longer do I want my children to live in a lie under the deception of a false narrative of identity of shame. I know when the Lord told me that it's an epidemic of brokenheartedness and shame in the body of Christ, that he had something to say about it, that he was upset about it. Because he's really tired of people really believing something less than what the blood has said about who they really, really are. Shame says, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not talented enough, successful, rich, masculine, feminine, tough, caring, pretty, creative, popular enough. What? Who do you think you are? I'm too much, or I'm not enough. No one can ever find this out about me. Because if they do, then it will reveal who I really am. And no one would want to know that. So I will keep that hidden and safe, and I will stay deceived. Shame says, I am unworthy of connection. It comes really from a thought. If people really see who I am, they won't want to have connection with me. There is something really wrong with me. I remember really most of my life saying that about myself. What's wrong with me that nobody loves me? I remember being 5 years old on a twin bed sitting there, and it was a blue and white flowered comforter. And I remember rocking back and forth at 5 years old, and the enemy coming and saying, you will never be loved, and no one really loves you. when in reality, I was greatly loved. I remember being really little, like right before that, probably 3 or 4 years old, and my mom, I used to love to sit by our big brown, you know, one of those vinyl couches back in the day, and she had a load of laundry and probably her hair up in her curlers or something. And I remember saying to her at 3 or 4, how could I know Jesus? How do I get to heaven, Mama? And I was raised Catholic, and I love my, I love being raised Catholic. I loved it because I really learned about honor and reverence, and I hold that very, very dear. And I had the privilege of being saved and spirit-filled in a church when I was 11. But when I was 3 or 4, I remember kneeling down and helping her fold clothes and saying, how do I get to heaven? And in what she knew at that time before she knew Jesus, she said, well, Linda, when you are good, when you do good, you are good. And when you do bad, you are bad. And really, just recently, I realized, wow, that was the moment that I met the tree of life in the garden, and where immediately God started to say to me, Linda, where are you? And I started to place a fig leaf over my own life. Because the enemy really wanted to take my connection of intimacy. Because why? He knows your call of God on your life. He knows who you're predestined. He formed you and made you in your mother's womb. Shame is trying to bring disconnection. First of all, like we talked about at the very beginning of this podcast, your main connection with the Godhead, the intimacy of walking in the garden, the ruha, the breath of God. When we live disconnected by shame, Connection requires, I'm going to be brave to walk out into honor. When we live disconnected, we stay in limitation and in bondage. This can tie us to our past, and it will sabotage our future. God has a destiny for us. We hear those things in the body of Christ, right? We go to church. God has a destiny for you. There's a call of God on your life. But are we fighting for it behind the fig leaves that are trying to hide us and keep us deceived and keep us limited and keep us in the disconnection? Because we always are saying, well, they're better than us. They think this about me. I can never measure up. I am less than. I have a poverty spirit. I was raised with no this, that, whatever. Whatever the enemy would try to put shame and lay it on your DNA. That is where we have to be so brave. You know, the word says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. What are we taking? We are literally taking our identity back. We are literally taking the power of the covenant of what the blood of Jesus did, the resurrection power. I love the resurrection power because I always think of Isaiah 60, arise, arise and shine. You know, it's not arrogance to be bold in who you are and your identity in the kingdom, but it can be false humility to say, I'm not enough. What lies is the enemy really saying? You know, guilt and shame are often looked at as the very same thing, but really they're not. Researchers will tell you that, right? I mean, we know that, and whether it's psychology or social teachings that are saying, hey, shame says you are something bad, and guilt says you did something bad. I'm a bad person. I'm unlovable. I'm unworthy. And I am undeserving. But guilt will come in and just say, I did something bad, or I violated a person, a moral or an ethic code. It's really the difference of the defining. And we're going to talk about that right here and invite some of the team in for questions to say, okay, how do we walk out? How can we identify within ourselves and recognize the different language within our own DNA to say, what is guilt talking and saying to me? And what is shame talking and saying to me? You know, shame just wants to control everything. But honor will help unravel the frayed ropes that are in our life. Some won't let you go because the shame becomes a false sense of security. So, again, I think we'll be talking about this. Shame will hide in pride. You know, what does that look like? Satan will use things from our past to stop you from moving forward. He will bring feelings of defeat. How many things, if we could see in the Spirit, open their eyes, it could see more are for us than against us. What is the defeat battleground that is breeding shame? Hopefully in these podcasts and in this discussion that we're going to help really break down. Because if the Lord says it's an epidemic in the body of Christ, we really are walking in some deception. We want to extinguish fears and broken dreams and broken visions. We want to have hope arise and faith come to the forefront. And for the body and for those that are listening that may not even know Jesus, the one and true and only King, to know I can walk out of a past or a circumstance or a narrative that was spoke to me my entire life, you'll never amount to anything. You really are less than your sister or less than your brother. You can't really measure up. You're not smart enough. But Jesus is saying, no, 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 your inheritance and who you are, bought by my blood, I see you whole. I see you redeemed. I see you healthy. I see you complete. That's an identity that is worth being brave to fight for. So let's just talk about practically. Let's just bring this down to ground level. Let's just bring it to our own war zone, our own authentic vulnerabilities in our life. And let's just have some really raw conversations. I'm going to invite Melissa and Marcy into this combo right here with us. So Marcy, what is stirring in your heart as we're talking about walking out of shame?
Well, I think you mentioned about shame hiding. Of course, it's a big part of what you've been talking about. And I just would like to take a pause on that because I think that I know I have not always recognized the way it has hidden in my life. And I wondered if both Melissa and I could kick in here about ways that it hides a little bit more, because maybe we'll hit on something between the two of us that would be a jolt to someone who may be listening. Say, oh, I never knew that could be rooted. It could be a shame root, you know. So I know for me, I found that shame hid behind embarrassment. That it was not until I was an adult that I experienced that. And so what would you have to say about that? Or even other ways that both of you, other ways that we've seen it hide and how it then is, how it shows up, what it looks like.
I think that if shame is hiding behind embarrassment of maybe how we were raised or who we were or how we've been, what other people have maybe represented our lives, and we are like, I think that it comes across, I would say that's an area that can come across in pride. You know, I'm to be ashamed of someone, of what their response or their actions have affected my life, it embarrasses us so that shame comes in. So we have to make a defense or an excuse, or even sometimes people will change their behavior to such an extreme. They put a absolute in their life because of shame and embarrassment. I will never do this because that person did that.
Oh, vows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never want to do what my dad did. I never want to do how my mother was. I never want to be the boss that violated. I never want to be the perpetrator. So we open and we get a prideful stance, and it looks valiant, and it looks impressive. And underneath it, though, the foundation can sometimes be built on a narrative of, I was so embarrassed that I will never. And until the invitation of the Godhead can come into that space right there and really have freedom to say, I invite you into the foundation of why and what and who I really believe in that declaration and the why. He's the one that comes in and reveals a motive. And the motive then can be pride, but because even to go deeper, it could be, I have shame because I was so embarrassed.
I'd like to maybe pick up on that. In my journey in realizing the power of shame, that wasn't the word that ever came to me. I didn't ever really respond as a believer because I felt like I was a strong and passionate person, and that I had a heart of love and love for God and love for man. But another thing about shame, I think that's really important, maybe we'll talk about it later, you're teaching about it later, is that it is in so many ways the original enemy of our soul, and that it can often look a multiple different shades. And so it kind of in my life kept evolving, but the web looked different. It was like, why am I frustrated? Or why am I growing? Or how about, you know, ouch, that hurt, Papa. Why is that lesson so hard? And then in the investigation of intimacy with the Father and working together to resolve the issue of man in my own life, my own man in my own life, in that issue of resolving by the power of the blood, mm-hmm. and in the intimacy of having conversation with Father, because he's trying to make us more like him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so we should be thankful that these things are being exposed. We should be thankful when we're given opportunities to work on shame. But shame tells you that if you're working on shame, that then you get more shame. Mm-hmm. But it's actually a tangled web. Mm-hmm. And so my point was really just that the tangled web of shame didn't always start with capital S-H-A-M-E. It sometimes it was either pride or it was rejection, mm-hmm. yes. or mm-hmm. it was disappointment. And so it had a lot of different entrapments.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that when we stop hiding in the shame and we allow the exposure of it, it really saves us from getting hurt further. But we really believe the lie that if I expose this shame, if I really am authentic and be brave to step out in this, that it will do the opposite. I will be more ashamed.
Right.
And that is a lie, I think, of the web of the enemy that comes in and says, we need to turn. We need to turn inward. And in reality, the Lord is saying, I need you to see your identity in me. and not always from other people or the circumstances around you. Because we, how many of us, right? We're going along, we're doing really good, we're fighting the good fight of faith, we're being just loving Jesus, doing the deal, going to work, and boom, we get hit, we get bumped. Like Melissa says, we bump into ourselves, or the enemy will come and we get hit. And what he's trying to do is keep us in limitation so that we are not moving out into freedom. And I think a key that recognizing, hey, this is a familiar pattern that keeps happening to me, that I am just about to get a step of victory or have had four steps of victory, and bam, the enemy comes in and gives me a blow and stabs me in the back and I take a fall. But don't be like, I'm bad because I fell. The righteous fall, but they get back up. And so right then is an opportunity for a fight of choice of identity and truth. Mm-hmm. I really believe that walking this out has to do with when I'm hit in the moment of discouragement and what, or embarrassment, like the ladies have been discussing here, however the form comes, like Melissa said, in many different colors, shapes, and sizes, we have to realize that in the moment, Jesus, come right now. Help me to think on things that are not of shame. I disagree with the power and the authority of that lie. And even though there's strong emotion, even though there's great discouragement, or maybe it's so familiar, it's still my friend, I need to believe the truth of you and what you're saying right now more than I believe in the untruth. Remember, shame wants to bring disconnection and isolation. And God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, and your true identity has to have connection. So whenever the enemy is coming in with familiarities, disagree with disconnection and come into connection requires bravery and honor. It has to be, because shame lives in disconnection and it breeds shame to shame to shame.
I love that, and it's very revealing. I wonder something to the two of you, and I just actually, as we've been sitting here, this is something that has come into my thinking. I was thinking about how it's important as believers that are desiring to be changed from glory to glory and becoming more like Him, that we respond correctly to the nudgings. And sometimes, you know, guilt, be feeling guilty about something can be a good thing, and it can be we have to discern when it would become a place of conviction, mm-hmm. and then conviction to go into its proper place and not fall into shame. And I'm just being a little bit challenged right now with perhaps an observation in the body of Christ these days. How many times have we heard this thrown back up, the scripture, be misused? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I just am wondering what the two of you think about shame having found a very lovely spot to hide down in that scripture.
Being being led to the Father is usually an identity place for me. So what I mean is, if I am having an attitude, because God loves me so much, as a father, He reveals to me, Melissa, that's a bad attitude. And that I have a choice. I can either say, yeah, no, but, you know, I can go one direction into pity, embarrassment, shame, or I can acknowledge. That's not a fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, that's good.
I'm going to have to take this to you. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, to have a little bit of patience, that we're learning that God is love. He's not just love for the church. He's not just love for the universe. He loves me enough to be about teaching me. Mm-hmm. He is my Father. And so if he says, Melissa, that's a bad attitude, right there, I either run to my loving Father or I hide in the tangled web of the enemy.
Yeah. I love that. And for those, you know, a whole nother teaching here, but for those who have resolved the Father place, you know, in a correct, truthful way, that works. But for those who have not, there's a whole nother challenge before them. Yeah. So, yeah.
I believe that, you know, we can go back to that very peace, which is so great,
really,
because
good.
The body of Christ, for the most part, you know, I said earlier, we travel all over. And how often, girls, do we run into this very thing when we are praying for people? Mm-hmm. People come up and the broken and the contrite, we are.
Yes.
We really run into this. Mm-hmm. You know, we can say, well, you're a chosen people, royal priesthood, a holy nation. Your very own being is God's possession. You are his possession, his loved one. You can show others. He's called you out of darkness into marvelous light. But really bringing that into the reality where the rubber meets the road is work. Not works of your flesh, like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to will myself into not being this less than. Next time that person says something to me, I'm going to just do this in my own strength. I'm going to fight back with words. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Well, the enemy loves that, because all that does is breed shame. And then guilt. Guilt is the thing that does have condemnation. Guilt says, you did something bad. You did something wrong. So if we're not free, we'll fall back into self-righteousness. We'll fall back into self-works. We'll fall back into self-defense and isolation. Whatever our familiar pattern of our friend shame says to do is where we're going to fall. So the key to me is, you know, we hear that condemnation is guilt, and conviction is the sweet, powerful voice of the Holy Ghost. And it draws you to freedom, right? Because guilt attaches to the act, but shame attaches to the person.
Good. That's very defining.
And feelings of shame drive us. We might not know who's driving the car, right? Because we have so many emotions. I mean, come on, right, girls? How many times have we been like, rah! We know hormones, emotions, circumstances, family, finances, relationships, whatever, jobs, bosses, career, schools. I mean, what is it? Children. So emotions are not bad. They're valid, but they have to come under the mind of Christ. If we give somebody our own mind, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Mm-hmm. And the motives are all coming in at the end. Once the emotion has come off of that, what are you left with? Well, I'm left with sitting in my own shame and guilt. Now I feel really bad. Now I'm going to bring self-condemnation on me, and I'm just going to pour and pour and pour, and it's a cycle. So now I think, okay, I'm up and standing, but the whole time I never dealt with one piece and purpose to get liberated. So then I really don't know that I'm a chosen person, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and I really am God's own possession. Because taking thoughts captive have to come into walking out and doing, he who began the good work in you is faithful to bring it to completion. Now that works isn't like I'm going to stand in my own strength. It's in the power of his might we stand. But we can't take condemnation on and say, woe is me. I am full of shame and I'll never be good enough. And I feel very negative and nobody would want to be around me. I think I'm just going to hide. Victory for the enemy camp. So let the tide turn in our life today. Let this begin this session one, as we will come back and have a session two on walking out of shame into victory, and continue to learn how to have practical tools with kingdom power and anointing on them. To what? To destroy this yoke of shame and to remove this burden that is yoked around the entire humanity, where scientists in and of itself are saying it's laying on our DNA. So let's come together and listen to part two on how to walk out in honor and in victory out of the disgusting lie of shame.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. For more information about Sanctioned Love, or if you'd like to give, visit our website at www.sanctionedlove.com and follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages. We love you and God bless.